Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Have you lived your life and arranged your lifestyle and your thoughts so that it's like, he's at home? It's hard for you to overcome in battles when you don't give Christ any room, when you don't put yourself in situations to win the battles. Is Jesus able to come into your home and relax? Not going, they're going to turn on the TV again. Man, that book's out. Look at their thought life. Or is he able to sit comfortably and enjoy and be more and more of him while there's less and less of you?
Does God feel at home in your life? In today's message from Pastor Troy, he challenges us to ask this question and to evaluate the room we have for God in our lives. Would our lifestyles, friends, and thought lives invite God into a space where he can come home and relax in? As Christians, it's important we make room for God in our lives. We want there to be more of him and less of us. When we have more of him, it's easier to overcome the battles of the flesh. So make room for God in your life today. Now here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 3 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
As Christians, see, we have two natures. The nature you were born with, which is a sinful nature, and the nature you're born again with. The nature you're born with does not go away when you're born again, but at least you're given a new nature, a guide, if you will. The nature you're born with is the old you. The Bible calls it the old man. The old man is how you used to be, the way you used to think, how you used to view things, what you used to prioritize and do. That's the old man. Paul said we were by nature children of wrath, even as the others, meaning that we were led by the appetites of the flesh, by our own feelings, by everything else, which got us into trouble and made us children of wrath, destined for destruction. But now you have a new nature. The Bible calls that the new man. The old nature and the new nature, guess what? The Bible tells us they're in conflict. See, the new nature didn't kick out the old one. No, they're in conflict right there inside of you. And there's a major war going on. It's a conflict that will last until you're in heaven. Although, as we mature in Christ, there should be this sense that it was the old man who had the most weight. And now the new man, I'm growing in Christ. But it will still be a battle throughout your whole life until we're in heaven. This flesh is gone. So, whichever nature inside you feed the most, that's the nature that leads the most. This is important. Whichever nature you feed the most is the nature that leads you the most. Don't think that you can consistently feed the flesh and neglect the spirit and just consistently feed the flesh and expect that you will grow spiritually, or that you'll be able to make spiritual decisions at the right times. You will not. You will be worldly, carnal. What does it mean to feed the old nature? It means letting things come into your eyes and into your ears, into your thought life, being part of conversations that influence or cause you to be acceptable or more tolerant toward things and actions. It means to let those things go, to let them in. What you invite in through these doors will stir in the flesh so that you find yourself drawn toward, drawn into, and even settling into a carnal lifestyle, whatever that is. When you feed the flesh, things like prayer group, things like worship or church, reading your Bible, when you feed the flesh, all of those things become less appealing naturally. If you wonder why your appetite for these things diminish, it's often a direct reflection of which nature you've been feeding. The nature you feed is the nature that grows stronger and thus influences or leads you. So we need to feed the Spirit. We need to pray. We need to read the Word of God. Feeding the two natures is totally different. See, it's like the difference in tending weeds and tending flowers. When you tend weeds, you don't have to do anything. You just leave them alone. But to tend flowers, you got to fight the weeds. You got to fight things. You got to put the fertilizer. You got to do the things that you need for healthy soil so there can be a healthy plant. We must feed ourselves. You know, we walk in a world that gets us dirty. And some dirt sticks more than others too. You know, depending on what you got dirty with, you know, mud, that may wash off easier than certain greases or other things that get on you. And man, it's hard work to wash. Easy to get dirty. That happens in the process of life. Hard to wash. And so we've got to wash, spend our time washing. Now, we can't spend our life in the shower. Some think they can, I think, but you can't. But we can spend our life seeking the Lord, being in His Word, recalling it as we have to make decisions. We can make that a matter of life and lifestyle. In fact, that's what God wants for us. That's why He says, pray without ceasing. Seek Him, stay connected. So Paul is praying for strength through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, because that's what they need if they're going to be able to do this. Changing the situations, telling them, you must get along, does not help. But if the inner man is strengthened, that'll change everything for them. So he prays for spiritual stability or strength. You know, by the way, strength is something that is built. You don't just turn it on. There was an article about moose, and that during the mating season, they fight. So one becomes the leader. And what determines who will be the leader isn't so much about finesse and, you know, who's cooler. It really has everything to do with strength of their antlers. There you go. I was going to say horns, and that would have seemed like I didn't know what I was talking about. But hey, who doesn't know about moose? So they're antlers. But the point of the article is this. They said that the war that is fought in the fall is won in the summer during feeding season. Whoever gets the most food and the most quality food will be best prepared to win the battle in the fall. So for us, a point. The battles we fight spiritually are already won or lost according to the daily preparations before God prior to the battle. We need to invest now for the battle that comes. So Paul prays that God, according to the riches of His glory, will lavish them with strength and stability in the inner man. In other words, your small time of prayer, I pray that God will meet that with the riches of His strength. Not just match you. Little prayer, little strength. But if you've got little, that He pours out in abundance upon you. What you need. Second, Paul prays for spiritual intimacy. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Doesn't he already do that? These are Christians he's writing to. Doesn't he already dwell there? Doesn't he already live in our hearts when we're born again? Well, it's important to understand what the word dwell means here. It's the Greek word katoikeo. And the literal translation could be read this way, that Christ may settle down and feel at home in your heart. That's dwelling richly. The idea is that any Christian can say Jesus lives in me because He does. It's true. If you believe in Him as your personal Lord and Savior, He lives in you. Promised. In fact, I'll show you the scripture that tells us this. Unity is just a small part of the mystery. Because Paul's praying and knowing we need help for this to happen. And the greatest part, the blessing, the glories of this mystery, he says, here's the call. But there's also enabling for this. That is one of the greatest parts of this mystery that no one ever knew about. Tablets would not empower us, but what would? Christ in us. And that's a wonderful blessing. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. That's the direction that it's all flowing, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to what? To his working, which works in me mightily. This is the blessing of the calling, is his enabling. These are the riches that we have that we're talking about, and a part of the mystery. It's the blessing part. It's the glorious part of the mystery. Christ in you. You can do it if you are in him. So the glory of this mystery, Christ in you. You can't do these things. You can't do what has never been revealed before. And that is coming away from your life and joining this group, the church, and being everything that you've never been. You can't do that. But Christ has been given to you that you can. It's the most important part of the mystery. And here's the thing about that. Simple math. He will increase as you decrease, and not before then. Paul prays that he will feel at home. So yes, they have Christ in them, but he's saying, I pray that he'll dwell comfortably, richly in you, that he'll grow, that there'll be more of Christ, less of you. He'll feel at home. Paul prays he'll feel at home in them because we have something to say about how richly he dwells in us. Unity is the call. Christ in you is the enabling. The question is, does he feel at home there?
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Have you lived your life and arranged your lifestyle and your thoughts so that it's like, he's at home? It's hard for you to overcome in battles when you don't give Christ any room, when you don't put yourself in situations to win the battles. Is Jesus able to come into your home and relax, not going, uh-oh, they're going to turn on the TV again. Uh-oh, man, that book's out. Look at their thought life. Or is he able to sit comfortably and enjoy and be more and more of him while there's less and less of you? There's a little booklet by Robert Boyd Munger. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it's about Christ coming into our life and looking at the different areas of our life where they need changes. And we didn't realize that we needed to change certain things until Christ laid his eyes on those things. We realize, I'm embarrassed for that one. And he writes, he entered with and looked at all the books in the bookcases, the magazines on the table, the pictures on the wall. That's his thought life. As I followed his gaze, I became uncomfortable. Strangely enough, I had not felt bad about this room before, but now that he was there looking at these things, I was embarrassed. There were some books on the shelves that his eyes were too pure to look at. On the table were a few magazines that a Christian had no business reading. As for the pictures on the walls, the imagination and thoughts of my mind, some of these I found shameful. Any Christian can say, Christ is in me. I'm an overcomer. But not many are really in that situation. He's in there. But the situations that we place ourselves in are more of us, more of the world, less of him. We cannot expect to be overcomers if we're not listening to the Lord and letting him overcome, following him. How would you feel if Jesus came into your house right now, into your thought life? How would you feel? How about the DVD titles in the family room? Now, think about Jesus coming in. I know the friends we surround ourselves with, we're all comfortable, we're all in agreement with what's good and bad. We've got our own little standards. That's why they're our friends. But what would Jesus say? What if he came in? Would you have to clean up, hide some of them? The DVR programs, the Netflix watch list, your favorites in your web browser, the potential for pop-ups. Would you let them on your computer because of the things that you're so used to just popping up now? The sites you visit. What if he turns on the TV? Would you be concerned what channel it might have been on last? What if he went through your checkbook and saw where you spent all your money? Would he feel that he's the most important person in your life? Would you be embarrassed or feel like you needed to make excuses? This is a good question to really ask and think through. Because if you're a Christian who wants to make an honest evaluation of where you're at, you need to consider the at-homeness of Christ in your life, everywhere. That's what Paul's praying for here. Not only that they would be strengthened spiritually, but that Jesus would feel at home and richly dwell in them, because that's what they'll need. Third, he prays for love. In verse 17, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. He wants them to be rooted in this, to know the love of Christ, because you can't give it if you haven't really fully understood how to receive it. The root system is very important to any tree, to its stability and to its ability to take in. And so he says, be rooted in love. He's praying for that. And fourth, Paul prays for capacity. We have a very limited ability and capacity. So he prays for capacity. Verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let him reign. Let him have more. We're all growing as Christians. And if you're a Christian, you may be filled with the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't mean that you're done growing or being filled. It's like this. We're like a thimble, and what God has to pour in is an ocean, right? That thimble, that ocean, not going to contain it, is it? So the goal is to, one, increase our capacity. That's going to happen as we grow in the Lord. Our capacity to do things will grow. We will no longer just be a little thimble. He'll stretch us. He'll grow us. But even then, we'll never contain it all. So what has to happen is we may not contain it all, but he still wants to pour it all in. And it will wash over us, wash through us. Everything, everything that he is, everything that he wants will wash over us and transform us in the process. We won't be able to contain it all, but we will be one clean thimble. See, to grow in his love, we need to experience his love. We need to let him fill us, to understand it more than we do now. It wasn't nails that kept Jesus on the cross, you know. It was love. He could have come down at any time, but he chose to stay there. There are things that you can do to demonstrate the love of God to others that are not in your repertoire. You don't contain them. You don't possess them. You might not ever think of them. But you, led by the Spirit of God, the new nature, all sorts of new things come to the forefront. Do this. Everything in your nature says, I don't see how that works. But you have to come to the conclusion, if it's the Lord, then that's what we do. That's how the thimble gets bigger. We never have a thimble that grows unless we're someone who goes, someone who does. Again, you'll never really be seen as much more than a thimble in all that God has to offer and pour in. But don't you at least want to grow and be filled with the fullness of God in your life? That's something we can all have and be. So These are the four requests, and they're all interconnected, because when the inner man is strengthened, it leads to a deeper intimacy with Christ so that Christ feels more at home. And that leads to a greater capacity to take in and give out the love of God, which leads to a full, stable spiritual life. So adoration, intercession, and we must close with verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The benediction, this breakout in glorious praise, because Paul knows what I've just asked is a tall order, but I praise God who is able to do even more than I just asked. And he breaks out in praise. Notice again the emphasis on the church, unity. This is the goal. This is the vision. This is what God's doing. But you need an enabling. And so he prays for this enabling. And he breaks out in praise because he just asked the God who can do so much more than this. In his benediction, as if Paul realizes, man, I just asked God this, man. Hallelujah! He's able to do so much more. How different is this, Paul's prayer, than many of our prayers? This one was pretty good to me. I took some notes on this one. Looking at the watch, praying, thinking, oh man, we got to go. That's our hurried culture. Rushing in that token phrase, in Jesus' name, amen. Praying like, okay, I don't have much time, but I'll just pray as I lay down before bedtime. And we just kind of drift off to sleep. And then we praise the Lord the next day. Oh, thanks for getting me to sleep last night. But prayer can actually be a very exciting thing when you really consider who you are talking to and what he can do. So when you pray, adoration, remember who you're talking to, get perspective, intercession, pray for needs, but remember to prioritize the inner man. Prioritize the inner man. It's hard to get someone out of situations and circumstances when the inner man is still led by the old man who's going to continue to get themselves into trouble. One of the worst things you can do is give somebody money who has no discipline to offer that in submission to the Lord. They're just going to continue to get into that kind of a situation. You exhaust yourself. You exhaust your resources. What they need is prayer for the inner man. And you ask God, what are you doing to do that, Lord? What should we do? Rather than looking to fix a solution or find some kind of fix, look at the spiritual problem. What is God's solution? What alignment does God want for this? It may feel drastic. It may seem drastic, but that's the word of God and the work that it does. It's the only solution. Sometimes a scalpel has to cut. That's the job of the scalpel. And we can't just keep putting Band-Aids on a wound that is getting gangrene. The truth sometimes pierces. I was talking to Eddie this week, and he was talking about the Word of God. And, you know, sometimes we jab it real hard, you know, like, oh, the truth, you know, no real love. And I thought, you know, I know sometimes you do that. But, you know, I know we shouldn't just go real hard at the truth. It should be in love. But sometimes you just want to take it like a newspaper, roll it up and go, phew. You know, lots of noise, no damage, but at least you're making a point. There's a time for that. Here's the truth. You need to make a decision or it's going to get worse. That's why intercession is so important. Prioritize the inner man, then benediction. Close with a bang. Don't fade off in prayer. Close with a bang in worship, understanding you just asked the God who can do far more than you even asked. That's awesome.
That's all the time we have for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely will return soon with more from his verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the book of Ephesians. But in the meantime, we'd like to hear from you. Send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program or about how what you've heard today can be applied to your own life. We'd also like to encourage you to get involved in a local church. And if you live in or are visiting the San Antonio, Texas area, why not come by Calvary Chapel Solid Rock? Our church meets every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. At each service, you'll be able to join us for a time of fellowship, Bible study, and worship. Go to buildingonthesolidrock.com for more information, and be sure to tune in again for more from the book of Ephesians, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in